Pour yourself a cold one.
Let's drink them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is daddy soda time, baby. And as you can tell, over the last couple of days, I had way too many daddy sodas, talked way too loud, and now I'm paying for it on the other side. We are presented by BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Use the promo code PODCAST1 so you get that glorious 50%, 50 welcome bonus. I love it, love it, love it. BetOnline.ag. He is Matt Waldman. If you don't follow him on Twitter, at Matt Waldman, you're doing it wrong. If you haven't gone to MattWaldmanRSP.com to sign up for the rookie scouting portfolio, you're also doing it wrong. Because if you're listening to this podcast, that means you like the college draft and you like Matt Waldman and you would love the rookie scouting portfolio. And it's funny, Matt, because there's two different NFLs going on right now. There's still three football games to be played. But we have already started draft season, and that starts with the Shrine Game, Matt.
Yeah, this is, you know, one of, how can this not be one of the best times of year? Because if you got the best going on Sundays, and then you've got the future happening, you know, at the same time unfolding, and we've got some excellent players that we get a chance to talk about. I mean, we could probably spend hours talking about the number of players who, and the talents that are going to be available to play, you know, in this All-Star game.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Speaking of awesome, I don't know if you have one, Matt, but you should check out ExpressVPN. It's a VPN that not only protects your privacy and security online, but it also allows you to take your TV watching to the next level. Because you can use that VPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. So, you like Star Trek? You can get it on Discovery on UK Netflix. You like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Like I do? Australia Netflix. It is awesome. Hundreds of VPNs out there. But the ExpressVPN is ridiculously fast. There's never any buffering or lag, and you can stream in HD no problem. ExpressVPN is also compatible with all your devices, phones, media consoles, smart TVs, and more. So you can watch what you want on the go or on the big screen wherever you are. Go to right now, expressvpn.com/draft, and you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Again, support the show, watch what you want, and protect yourself at expressvpn.com/draft. Let's make sure we know what's going on with the Shrine Game. And again, these guys are typically prospects that are late round guys or priority free agents, not typically as good as the Senior Bowl guys, but they're all legit NFL prospects. Let's start with running back Rico Dowdle from South Carolina.
Yeah, and this is a guy that, you know, a lot of times when you talk about these guys who were, you know, day three or second half of the draft or, you know, priority free agent prospects, there's not a lot separating them from the top guys in terms of ability. It, at times, it can also be about production and consistency with their game. And that if these guys can mature and develop a little bit more, they can become, you know, guys who flash that day one talent and maybe build on that to become starters in the NFL. Rico Dowdle is that kind of player. This is a guy that, you know, Coach Will Muschamp during Dowdle's career talked about to the media, just said, this is a guy that has the potential to become a special back during his career, but injuries kind of kept that from happening. He had a broken leg, a groin injury, ankle injury this spring, had a knee injury that cost him some games this year. But when you watch his tape, there's a lot to love about his game. I mean, he's someone who has really good skills at running gap and zone plays intelligently, and those are opposite style type of blocking schemes that you have to, in terms of how you approach the line of scrimmage as a running back. And he does that very well. He runs well with his eyes. And as I describe more about him, you'll see that's really apparent because he anticipates the penetration in the gaps into the backfield. And he has a really strong array of subtle and dynamic footwork to find space. And he transitions well downfield on perimeter runs. So when he's running at top speed, sideline to sideline, and he has to make that one cut downhill, he can do that well too. So that's really great for outside zone, as well as sweeps and other and toss plays. When it comes to balance, he can handle direct contact from defensive backs and linebackers. So he can run through hits. He also has the agility and pad level to duck under larger defenders and eliminate direct angles of contact. So he's really shifty. And when you combine that with his vision, he can really access all those backside creases, but still have the quickness and patience to test the front side creases first. So when you think about that, there's a lot of similarities in that type of behavior to what you see with Joe Mixon and Le'Veon Bell in terms of really patient, good footwork and quickness to their games. And when you look at Dowdle's early career tape, it really jumps off the page because he's just shifting the way that he can bait linebackers to shoot a gap, then sidestep them into another crease and get a bigger gain, or even layer moves in succession and set up defenders a level ahead of where he's running. And he reaccelerates really well. So he can make a dramatic move like a spin or a jump cut and then show the burst to split safeties up the middle. So, you know, the biggest issues with him are the injuries and ball security. He's had 9 fumbles and nearly 500 touches, which is a pretty bad rate of 1 per about 55 touches. There are backs like Miles Sanders and Sony Michel who've had poor rates like this, but they've been able to, you know, improve that at least in their first couple of years within the league and not show propensity to fumble the ball nearly as much as they did in the college. So there's some promise there with Rico Dowdle.
Another running back in the game is Benny LeMay from Charlotte, who went to their first bowl game this year.
Yeah, you know, and Charlotte has a couple of guys that are really interesting in this game. We'll touch on the other one in a minute, but LeMay, you know, he's also, he's been a very productive back for Charlotte, the 49ers. He has sudden stop start ability, good lateral movement away from penetration and burst up the middle, and he can drop his weight. You know, imagine like when you see a running back, a wide receiver, when they get into a hard break, like a curl route, where they, it looks like they're almost sitting in an imaginary chair. He can bend his knees and drop his weight so that he can come to a sudden stop, and he can take that one step and open up his hips and point the toe so that he can make changes of direction at 90 degrees without having to make a really hard jump cut or anything really dramatic. He can do it very smoothly, and he hits creases with confidence, even the smallest creases, which is something you don't always see with college running backs. And he's a good finisher in terms of his body lean. He can take hard indirect contact to his legs by linebackers. He's still going to stay upright through that contact and use that pad level and lean to get another, you know, 1, 2, 3 yards out of that. He's going to drag defensive backs a few yards when they wrap him from behind. And he's someone that can push a pile with good leg strength if nothing comes open early on the run. While he doesn't break a lot of wraps at the first and second level of the defense, he's someone that's not just going to get stifled right away. He has excellent position and timing as a blocker, and especially on cut blocks. He's someone that when they send linebackers on blitzes through those A gaps and B gaps, he's very good at timing his cut block. He has to improve a little bit on assignments when it comes to perimeter blocks off the edge, where he can sometimes over pursue and give up a lane to a defender who's coming inside and where they can kind of work to the inside on him. But as far as running goes, listen, I mean, he can spot cutbacks and bounce out lanes. He presses really deep to earn something out of them, and he runs both gap and man zone blocks very well too. And, you know, the thing that probably is missing with his game, in addition to just needing to improve his pass pro, is speed, top end speed. He can get run down by backside pursuit from linebackers and from defensive backs. But, you know, you give him the small crease and let him be able to set it up and get through it. He's going to get you positive yards, and he's going to be very consistent at doing that. Very smart player.
Let's get to an FCS guy. I like it. You know, I almost played in this conference. Rhode Island plays in the CAA, and that is where Aaron Parker plays, a wide receiver.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun to watch, too. I mean, he was featured at Rhode Island as a split end, and they often used him in three-receiver sets or on the trip side of a three-receiver side as the one-on-one guy on the inside that they hope to find matchup advantages with. He's a well-built athlete with a really thick lower body, strong-looking receiver. And when it comes to, you know, running routes and catching the ball, there's a lot of promise there. He has disciplined eyes in terms of how to sell that deep route, because everything really works off the nine route when you're running routes as a wide receiver, that deep vertical go route. He sells that route at the beginning of his stems very well, with his eyes just up and downfield. And when it comes to working those types of routes, he's someone that, you know, does a good job of being able to drop his weight and make some hard breaks, sudden stops, and I think that's something that he's going to continue to be able to work on and get better at. But what really pops off the screen right now for him is catching the football. He frames his hands well to the target so that he has his hands together in that technically sound position to get his fingertips on the ball and control the spin of it very fast. He's often the first to the ball. He has a very good leap. He gets a lot of air between the turf and his feet. And he has the coordination to make one-handed plays in tight coverage, even while contorting his frame to win the ball. But at the same time, he's also good at being able to dig out those low targets on the move and just pluck the ball at, you know, shoelace level and keep going. He's very good at transitioning. So, you know, it's very important. You think of a guy like George Kittle and why he was such a yardage leader in 2018, you know, at the tight end position, is because he transitioned so fast. He's someone that can just get downhill immediately, make that quick turn, and he'll drop his pads, push for yards when blocking isn't there for him, or he'll, you know, split defenders and at the same time and not try to go around them and maximize yards he gets, and oftentimes breaks tackles to do it. As a blocker, you know, he has the good punch in terms of uppercutting. He's also someone that does a great job of getting chest to chest. You don't always see it with receivers. You'll see them often lock out their arms and give a lot of space between their chest and the defender's chest, and they can't really control the guy. They're going to get ragdolled a lot by a defensive back when they do that. But Parker is someone who's very good at being able to get chest to chest and control the action. He just needs to get his hands inside a little bit more as a run blocker. He has some concentration drops on his tape, but usually it's just due to him, again, taking the eye off the ball a little too soon and wanting to transition upfield. That's kind of the bad end of the good thing he does in terms of transitioning fast. He just sometimes does it too fast. And he just has to, you know, as dynamic as some of his receptions are, you know, he makes a lot of tough plays, especially in contact. I mean, he's someone that you can hit this guy hard and he's going to come down with the ball, but then he drops ones where everything's technically sound, but they're just kind of more the inexplicable concentration drops that he just has to shore up. I just want to see him execute sharper and flatter breaks overall with a lot of his route patterns right now, and see how he can develop and how fast he can really refine the route tree, especially playing against press man, and see more of that from him. And if he can do that, he's going to be an interesting prospect in an NFL camp.
Curious to get your thoughts on Utah quarterback Tyler Huntley. Got a chance to see him a couple times this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's a talented football player. And I think if he can tighten up some of the technical details to his game that I think is a symptomatic of what he needs to learn, his game, I think, could dramatically improve. This is a guy who has really crisp 3-5-step drops, solid setups, good over-the-shoulder delivery. He executes the play action game really well with these types of drop combinations, as well as the rollout game. And he has flashes of elite placement under pressure, both off the edge and against interior pressure, where he can sidestep and fire the ball into a tight window on the intermediate perimeter, only where the receiver is going to get a shot at it. And he reads, you know, the field deep to short, sideline to sideline, you know, inside to outside. He has the speed to beat defenders on the perimeter as a runner at all three levels. He just has to learn some things that are going to, you know, elevate his game, and they're the smaller details that are very important. One of them is just protecting himself a little better as a runner. This is a guy who barrels headlong into defenders at full speed. He's awkward sliding, kind of flops more than slide. I mean, right now I'd rather see him dive head first than doing what he's trying to do right now. And he has some inconsistent feel in the pocket. He'll make great moves from pressure to reset and fire one moment, and then not find the best escape lane and run into more pressure the next. So he's a little too frenetic, and I don't think he sees the leverage of his blockers on defenders as well as he may need to, in terms of, and that's hard to do with bodies, you know, going by and whizzing by as fast as they do and all that movement that you're having to look at as a quarterback. But it's the thing that hurts the feel that he has for his game. And I think part of it is that he abandons the pocket way too early and invites more pressure. And his feet kind of lag behind the rest of his body, which tells me a little bit that he's a little slow in processing the information he's seeing right now in certain circumstances. And the way that affects him as a thrower is that sometimes he'll end up degenerating into a baseball style throwing motion with his feet. And his feet wind up too wide, and then the ball either dives or lacks the velocity that he could potentially achieve with a better throwing motion. And I think that he looks to run too often rather than throwing and buying time when there's opportunities to dish the ball off. And part of that, again, is also about reading leverage of coverage, as well as kind of putting a governor on his own physical skills and understanding that just because he's really athletic doesn't necessarily mean that's the best choice, or even, you know, maybe he even has the best feel for that. And there are guys who, like, you look at Joe Burrow, who may not be as athletic as Tyler Huntley, but he has a better feel for how he sees things. So he anticipates running lanes better, whereas Huntley's a little more hit or miss, even though he might be a more physically imposing athlete in terms of his speed.
This is a guy I saw play in high school, Matt, and that's John Runyon Jr. I think I read where he's playing some guard at the Shrine game this week. What did you see from him on tape?
Yeah, that's interesting, too, because, you know, he's a 6'5", 320-pound tackle at Michigan. You know, he started all 4 years. Quick, smooth, you know, sets up well as a pass protector. He's really skilled at countering first moves, and his game, I think the strength of his game is the finesse side of the blocking, where it's countering that first move, getting your hands inside the opponent and riding them around the pocket, you know, and he's very good at being able to just stay with them and wall off that defender. And when he gets his way, he's going to lead them around, stay in position and drive them well behind the passer. But at the same time, what I think teams want to see is how dominating he can be with force, with strength. Is he going to be able to get consistently strong pushes off the line with a lot of his run blocks? Is he going to be able to add, you know, even more muscle to his frame? I've heard, and from what I've seen a little bit, I can understand why maybe there's some concerns about lower body and how much power he can generate against bigger defenders or stronger defenders. And is he someone that can actually, you know, finish plays on a level where he's bringing guys to the ground, where he may have the leverage advantage, he may have the, you know, the position advantage, but necessarily hasn't shown the strength or to overcome a defender that puts him at a disadvantage early? Is he able to mitigate that with his strength? And I think that's going to be interesting to see how that works out for him at guard.
What about linebacker Bryce Huff from Memphis, Matt?
Yeah, he's a guy that has some bend around the edge. And, you know, I think that if he's someone that in he's not gonna, you know, run down maybe the, you know, the guys like the Joe Burrows of the world on a consistent basis. And you think of them, and maybe in, on the pro level, you think of a Baker Mayfield or a Ryan Tannehill, may not run down those types of guys. But he's someone that he has a good inside counter move. He can use his hands. He can set up moves off the edge with his footwork. I think he has a good feel for leverage to know when to work outside in and leave the tackle off balance. He has good hand usage in terms of and upper body usage in terms of dipping and ripping or using a push-pull move. I think he has to learn how to split double teams a little bit better and handle lead blockers more effectively. He right now he projects as a guy who will be that outside linebacker in a 4-3 look where he's kind of that Leo type of player you saw the Seattle Seahawks use with success for many years, where he's more of a pass rushing defensive end and a run defender in a 2-point stance, kind of slow at flipping his hips and transitioning from coverage to pursuit. I just want to see, see more in terms of first step quickness, whether he has that or can cultivate a little bit more of it. And, you know, just work on some of the technical fine points of not just winning one-on-one matchups.
And the D end for Charlotte, I've heard a lot about this guy, another Charlotte player, and that is Alex Highsmith.
Yeah, he's a fun one. I mean, this guy, and he's already making an impact in practices right now. He's 6'3", 244 pounds. He had 21 and a half tackles for a loss this season, 15 sacks, and 75 tackles. And he's well built for, well built as an athlete. He's known for his outside rushing or edge rushing prowess, but he also shows skills to really overpower tackles in the pocket and to use inside counters. He has a very good spin move to the outside or the inside. But he's also, and oftentimes with guys who have that spin move, they can rely on that so much that they can kind of lose discipline with what they're doing. But he's a disciplined defender who stays within his run fits and his passing pass rush lanes. And he's a very quick, sudden guy. He has good get off, very good hands. And I think he's the type of guy that's going to excel during the pre-draft phases of this process, including what we've seen early on in the Shrine game. But he's going to have to add some strength, most likely to maintain his balance, get through traffic to defend the run, and work through offensive linemen when those linemen can get their hands on him early. He's not a great counter player at this point, and I think some of that may have to do with his lack of core strength. And so when you project him moving forward, the biggest concern is, is he strong enough? Can he get strong enough to hold up as an outside guy who can play both the run and the pass? But he's an exciting prospect who I think is going to be mentioned more often as we get in closer to the draft.
You know, Matt, I don't know if you can bet on the Shrine game. I'd have to go check. Maybe they have a line for the Shrine game over at betonline.ag. They're your online sportsbook experts. They definitely have betting lines for not only the AFC and NFC championship games, but you can already bet AFC versus NFC in the Super Bowl, like we talked about on the Even Money podcast last week. You can also go ahead and bet on next year's futures already, if you can believe that. So go to betonline.ag, use the promo code podcast1, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus, and you'll be real happy that you did it. And you can tell them that Ross ET sent you. Actually, don't tell them that. Just use the promo code podcast1. Other than that, keg is kicked. I basically kicked it myself. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the College Draft Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and The Business of Sports. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.